Welcome to the Sketchy Sketch Sketch Show podcast. It's open mic night for sketch.
We cold read comedy sketches, then discuss how they were written.
Here to host the show, I'm Harrison.
And I'm Amy. With us in the writer's room,
I'm Keely Anastasia.
I'm Keith Estrella.
I'm Tyler Chick.
In this week's episode, it's season three, y'all. You'll never know what you'll find next in our first sketch. Then, you will not believe what Jennifer did in our second sketch. And finally, our third sketch, this one will really tickle your feather. Then, please join us on the riff plane with Ken and Keely.
And stick around to the end for a fun writing prompt to inspire your own writing. With us on the podcast today,
Casey Compton, she, her.
John Thompson, he, him.
Kenny J, he, him.
Kush, she, her.
Risa W, she, her.
Ryan W, he, him.
Tyler Genna, he, him.
Welcome to season three.
All
goofers report to the bridge immediately.
And we're here, Captain Goof. We're here on the bridge.
Platoon is assembled, sir.
Did I goof? Oops.
Wait, how did you goof if we're all here on the bridge?
Because I told you to report to the bridge. You are already here. Whoops.
Maybe you just gave the orders so clearly early enough that this was a redundant giving of the orders.
My name is Captain Goof.
That doesn't mean your bit is automatically goofing.
That's a normal name.
It's Dutch.
I wanted it to mean something more.
Harrison, you made him cry.
You hurt this Captain Goof's feelings.
I'm sorry, Captain Goof.
Is he goofing again?
I'm crying at the captain's chair. At the bridge.
Oh, he swiveled away. Oh. He swiveled away from us.
Swiveled.
Oh, bye, Captain Goof.
Stare out your big window.
We don't think less of you for crying. That's fine. We want you to be vulnerable.
Just tell the Cardassians to come back later, I guess.
Oh, this is Star Trek. Okay.
Wait, I heard Kardashians.
Me too. That's I heard Kardashians.
We all heard what we wanted to hear.
Well, I guess we should take those goofs to a sketch, huh? Our first sketch today is titled Found a 20, written by
John Thompson.
Austin will be played by
Tyler Genna.
Ramona will be played by
Casey Compton.
Max will be played by
Tyler Chick.
Bystander / Colonel Sanders will be played by
Harrison Merkt.
Sebastian will be played by
Keezy.
And Margo will be played by
Kush.
External Riverwalk Day. Austin and Ramona are walking along the river in winter coats. The trees beside them are yellow and red, with some completely leafless, all blowing in the wind just the same.
Well, it's not as cool as your job as an environmental lawyer, though.
Oh, stop. You're the best.
Ramona and Austin kiss.
Man, it's getting chilly out with this wind.
Yeah, it's the first time I've had to wear my winter coat this year.
Same.
Austin puts his hand in his pocket.
Hey.
What's up?
Austin pulls out a $20 bill.
I found a 20.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Ramona puts her hand in her pocket.
Austin!
Yeah?
Ramona pulls out an unscratched lottery ticket.
I found a fast cash!
Hey, cool.
Ramona does the scratch off.
Look at that! I won 40 bucks!
Heck yeah!
Austin checks his other pocket.
No way.
Austin pulls out a Pokemon Crystal cartridge.
Oh. Ramona, I thought I lost this as a kid.
Oh, wow!
It's worth like $120 now.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Ramona reaches into her other pocket.
What the?
Ramona pulls out a chicken thigh.
I found a chicken thigh.
In your coat?
Yeah, I must have left it in my pocket from the Renaissance Fair last year.
No way.
It was the best chicken I've ever had.
Ramona takes a bite.
Still good.
Heck yeah.
Austin checks his breast pocket.
Ramona!
In one fluid motion, Ramona rips chicken off and looks at Austin.
My cat!
Oh my god, is that Loverboy?
The very same.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Ramona hands Austin the chicken thigh for Loverboy. She reaches into a zippered pocket on her chest.
Would you look at that?
In one fluid motion, Loverboy rips a piece of chicken off the thighs. Austin and the cat look at Ramona. She's holding a briefcase.
It's the briefcase from Pulp Fiction.
Wait, the one that they open that shines with the mysterious radiant gold light whose contents are never revealed?
The very same!
Ramona and Austin open the briefcase and look into it.
Heck yeah!
Nice!
Max enters.
What's up, y'all?
We're finding stuff in our coat pockets!
Cool.
Max reaches in his pocket.
Hot damn.
What? What?
It's the Orb of Janus.
Whoa, does that help you?
Max holds both hands on the orb.
Predict the future?
Incredible.
Heck yeah.
Nice.
A bystander walks by.
Hey, check your pockets.
The bystander checks their pockets.
OMG.
They pull out a weathered piece of paper.
This is my grandfather's original 11 herbs and spices recipe.
Your grandfather was Colonel Sanders?
Yeah. Ever since he died in 1980, KFC's been using an approximation of the 11 herbs and spices recipe that everyone thought he took to his grave. Look, it's signed to me.
Bystander shows everyone the recipe page. It's signed to Colonel, spelled K-E-R-N-E-L, Sanders.
Incredible.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Unbelievable.
Austin and Ramona look at each other lovingly for a few seconds that feels like an eternity. Austin reaches into his pants pocket and produces a little black box.
Oh my God. Austin, what else did you find?
Austin smiles.
I've been carrying this around looking for the right moment.
Austin gets down on one knee and opens the box, revealing a diamond ring.
Would you look at that?
Ramona, will you marry me?
Max holds the orb with both hands and looks up with delight.
Yes!
A serial wedding venue day. Colonel Sanders is walking quickly with a tray of fried chicken and passes Margot and Sebastian, who are walking up to the venue, laughing.
You're so right. Marilyn does have the ugliest borderline.
Thank you. Man, it's been a while since I went to a wedding.
Sebastian reaches into his suit jacket pocket. The screen goes black.
Oh, get out of town. I voted 20.
No way.
I found a 20 in a jacket pocket once, and I thought, whoa, what if more stuff happened?
Good thinking.
Checks out.
I like the Orb of Janus too. I didn't even know like what that was exactly, or if it was like a specific reference, but I don't know. I like mysterious orb stuff happening.
Yeah, Janus is like the god of the future, I believe. So
Janus is a two-faced god too. What, does it see into the future and into the past or something?
I looked up gods on Google.
Oh my god. Sketchies, do your research. Google gods.
Another fun thing I had to look up was, is it will you marry me or would you marry me? And the results are fascinating.
I don't know. Will I?
Yeah, I don't know.
Will I? It's will.
No,
will. Will you marry me is the direct, like, will you do it? And then would you marry me is like a hypothetical. It's a vague, like.
Yeah, you have to be like, in what context is the way to. Yeah. John, this is super funny. Yeah. I love that you don't rest. And you're just sort of like, once the game is established and you've done it twice, you're just sort of like off to the races. And I love like the idea of like how fast this would go once the game is like started. One thing that you did with the Pokemon thing that I really loved and would love to see more is like in the like nice, heck yeah, Incredibles, I think it'd be fun to like continue adding like what the approximate worth of some of this stuff is. Especially yeah. the like the thing with like a cat, which is like I paid $240, but it's priceless.
Estimated retail value.
Yeah, yeah.
Like literally talk about how much its shots cost.
Yeah, yeah. I've sunk $600 into this baby though.
Yeah, I guess if we're heightening, it's $20, $40. Cartridge is $120. Next one's chicken thigh from the Renaissance Fair that's been in the pocket for a year.
But the best chicken you ever had, so there's personal worth.
And they're not available right now.
Yeah. This is worth 200 hot, 160 cold. Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like the coat has like preservative powers that everything is good as new when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. I would also, John, love if the chicken thigh from the Renaissance Festival, especially because we hear about KFC like chicken later, if that could be a turkey leg to be more on brand. And also if you could describe the price of it as like shillings or like whatever money they used in Renaissance times.
Renaissance bucks.
I loved how they both start the wedding and the initial scene both start in the middle or at the end of a conversation. That is like my favorite thing in the whole world. So thank you for doing it. That's all. Because you don't know what they're talking about. You can just do anything with it. It's so much fun.
Thanks. I imagine this in like a sketch review where like three sketches later, it's like a blackout and then a full wedding setup while like people get ready on stage. And then just these four lines.
I also just want to point out for the listener that you spelled fast cash with a dollar sign as the S for the lottery ticket. Yeah. Just want to make sure people knew that.
TM.
Wait, the one that they open that shines with a mysterious radiant gold light whose contents are never revealed?
Our next sketch today is titled I'm a Mother, No Drama, written by Casey Compton. New writer alert! Yeah! Mrs. Peters will be played by
Kush.
Jennifer will be played by
Keely Anastasia.
Joanne will be played by
John Thompson.
Kate will be played by
Amy D.
Mark will be played by
Tyler Yenna.
And Scott will be played by
Keely.
Interior school night. Takes place at a back to school night. It's a group of parents sitting in a room at students' desks facing a teacher.
Our favorite topic our students get to explore in life science is the anatomy section. We find that the human body is a glorious, complex system that we all have. Does anyone have any questions about the course?
Yeah, what does the homework look like? Like, what can we expect on a nightly basis?
Because they're just seventh graders, we're not looking too much at too much homework. Maybe just like 15 to 30 minutes a night or so. Anything else?
Yeah. What would you do if you were best friends with someone and that best friend had a sleepover without you and made a TikTok video for everyone to see? And the TikTok video featured the song Best Friends by China Anna McLean. And even though it was your song with your original best friend, not your new ones.
Well, I'm not sure what to say.
Joanne, last time I checked, your precious little Mackenzie didn't own my Jessica. Jessica can do whatever she wants with whomever she wants. And if Jessica wants to invite someone over who brings white wine instead of a Miller Lite, that should be Jessica's choice.
Raise your hand if you have something to say, Jennifer.
Well, we're all adults here. I'm not sure if hand-raising is completely necessary. Are we still talking about the kids?
Joanne raises her hand impatiently.
Yes, Joanne.
Pointing her thumb next to her.
Look at what my best friend Jody has
on. Jody is wearing a horse necklace that says best on it. Joanne pulls a horse necklace that says friend on it from underneath her shirt.
You did not. With her! You didn't go on a trail ride in Western Maryland with Jody, Joanne. You and Jody never bought matching riding pants. You and Jody never took pics of your girls together on the same pony and added it to your Christmas card.
This has nothing to do with you. Jody and I love horses, right, Jody?
Jody nods her head hesitantly and shoots a look across the room. A woman stands up.
Jody, after everything we've been through, you do this?
Kate rips a dolphin necklace that says best off her neck, throws it on the ground and runs away. A couple of women follow her. The room erupts into whispers.
Okay. Everyone, let's settle down. Listen up.
The parents settle down.
All right. The biggest project this year is the insect project. Now notice, I didn't say bug project. All right. It's insects. This project is worth 25% of the marking period grade, so it's not something you want to procrastinate on.
A man raises his hand.
Yes, Mark?
I would just like to say that my house has a big pool that collects a lot of bugs. Insects. And if you want, Jennifer and Kate, I would love for you to come and collect insects at my house.
Well, that's nice, Mark. Just lovely. I love that you're inclusive and reaching out to your neighbors in need. That's exactly the kind of attitude.
While Mrs. Peters is talking, Scott throws a paper airplane at Mark and it hits him in his neck. Mark picks up the airplane.
You are kicked out of my fantasy football league. No brown nosers allowed.
Mark pulls his hood around his head, tightens the string, and puts his head down to hide his weeping. Four women surround him. One of them is Jennifer.
Scott, I swear to God, why do you have to ruin everyone's lives?
What do you mean? Joe did that.
Who's Joe?
Joe Mama!
Scott dabs and then daps a few men around him, reveling.
Classic Jennifer telling everyone what to do.
A parent stands up and starts recording them.
You know what, Joanne? I wasn't going to say it, but now I am. You're sucky at blending your foundation, and it does a terrible job at hiding your hormonal acne.
Joanne starts crying, mascara running down her face. She snaps a selfie.
Really, Joanne? Really? You're running to Instagram again for validation? No one is going to like that stupid selfie.
Really? Because it seems to me that my 47 followers, my real friends, are genuinely interested in my life. They would never insult me like you.
Stop it. Stop it. This is ridiculous. A ridiculous way to act as adults. I'm very disappointed in all of you. Put your heads down. I need you to raise your hand if you think it's appropriate to get best friend necklaces with someone you clearly are not best friends with to spite your ex-best friends.
Half the class raises their hands.
Let's talk about best friends.
That was writing off a prompt of like just things that annoy you or something. And it annoys me when like parents get involved in their kids' drama. So I kind of just started writing about like parents being passionate about their like kids' drama. But then it just turned into the parents acting like middle schoolers. So that's what ended up happening. Yeah.
I love this map. I love the parents just going at it as if they're children. And then finally, I like the way that Mrs. Peters eventually is just like, that's enough, your children. Like accepting the fate that these parents are children, acting like children, and just telling them to sit down and shut up. Like it's so much fun. And it's also kind of real too. I think it's juvenile, but it is also how parents sometimes tend to act around each other. So there is a realness to it, you know, with maybe not exactly what's being said out loud, but these actions are what parents do. And it's so gross. So you really hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yeah. I love your specifics in this. They are so solid. The like teacher loving the insects thing or like wanting to specify that over bugs. Yeah. I feel like if you had like an earlier rest, like there's this moment where we like sort of like switch to the guys do the like football fantasy football drama. I feel like if we do like a rest sort of before we do that moment, like before the like necklace or something, it might help establish like Mrs. Peters getting the like room under control and like going back to like, this is parent teacher night. This is something that comes out of this like prompt of like, write something that annoys you a lot, but I feel like you can get so much more fun stuff like heightening wise if the like emotion of this like bounces off of the people. Like if you think about like how kids are catty, I feel like they wouldn't be emotionally vulnerable enough to be like, this is hurting me. They would just be like, I'm going to be catty back. And I'd love to see some resting moves that are like, you know, like scratching somebody's name off of a folder, or like physical iterations of like being drama-y like a child would in reaction, rather than like letting the emotion hit the character. I feel like we could have like fun bounce that way. I feel like we could have a fun blow of like all the parents ganging up on the teacher and being like, fuck you, as like a way to finish that map.
Oh yeah, that happens. Yeah.
I love Mark's voice and his like interactions with the girls of like trying to be like suave, inviting them over to like collect the bugs with him. It's so good. I love another Maryland reference. And yeah, kind of what Harrison was saying about the yeah, like this last line about that Mrs. Peter says is kind of like a really strong like framing move for like what happens earlier on. And so maybe just like including that earlier around the necklaces when that's happening at the beginning would be like a stronger way to frame that game up at the top. And then like shift the game a little bit to be like the loyalty or the friendships and how those dynamics are changing based on what's going on in the classroom. But yeah, really fun. It was really fun to read.
I think I got a little thrown off because the Joanne line establishing the game is so strong. I didn't assume that she was talking about something between their kids. I thought she was like saying like all these adults have TikTok accounts and they're making this video for everyone to see. Like since the map is that they're acting like kids, I didn't know they were talking about. And then so then Jennifer's line, I was like, wait, oh, they're talking about their kid. Oh. But maybe just like since the rest of them are like more direct, like that's how the adults are acting. I just maybe just clarity either way. Like, is it the adults riding horses or is it the kids riding horses? Like, I was never really sure. And they're like acting as their like champion.
I feel like I second this for another reason too, which is that like, you don't own me, Joanne, is a funny drop, is a funnier drop than your little Mackenzie doesn't own my Jessica.
You justify it like, our real lives are too hard. This stuff is way easier to deal with. It's like pettiness in our friend group is way easier. We want to go back to that.
This has nothing to do with you. Joe and I love horses, right, Jody?
We have one more wonderful sketch tonight. I think this is also a new writer alert, right?
New writer alert.
Woo! Our new writer for this last sketch is
Tyler Genna.
He has written a piece titled One Last Prank for a Friend. Wilson will be played by
Tyler Chick.
Elliot will be played by
Harrison Merkt.
Sean will be played by
John Thompson.
Freya will be played by
Casey Compton.
Nate will be played by
Keithy.
And Denise will be played by
Kush.
Interior, Nate's apartment, living room, night. Empty pizza boxes, beer cans, and liquor bottles litter the apartment. Three guys in their 20s, Sean, Wilson, and Elliot, are gathered around their friend Nate, who is passed out on the floor. Wilson is holding a can of Barbasol shaving cream. Sean is holding a gray feather.
All right, let's do this.
Wilson dispenses shaving cream into Nate's hand. Sean quickly approaches Nate with the feather. Sean begins to tickle Nate's cheek with the feather. Still passed out, Nate reaches to scratch his face, smearing the shaving cream across his cheek. Elliot snickers. Sean glares at Elliot. Sean continues tickling Nate until his face is almost completely covered in shaving cream. Elliot snorts, trying to stifle his laughter. Wilson glares at Elliot. Wilson places a big razor in Nate's hand, which still has some residual shaving cream on it. Wilson then wraps some packing tape around Nate's hand to keep the razor held in place. Sean gently tickles Nate's cheek with the feather. Nate reaches to scratch his face, incidentally shaving a partial line of stubble on his face along the way. Elliot giggles.
It's not funny.
Sean continues to tickle Nate's face with the feather until his face is mostly shaven, minus a few stray patches of stubble here and there, and actually looks pretty bad. Elliot looks at the hack job of a shave and shrugs, looking at the others. Wilson places a small square of toilet paper between Nate's thumb and forefinger. Sean tickles Nate's cheek, causing him to swiftly place the toilet paper on a small razor cut on his face. Later, bathroom. We see Nate's face in the bathroom mirror, his eyes still closed. He's holding a toothbrush. Well, there's a toothbrush taped to his hand. The feather slowly enters the frame. Elliot quietly chuckles. Sean glares at Elliot. The feather tickles Nate's lip. Nate sloppily runs the toothbrush across his teeth and mouth, splattering toothpaste lather onto the mirror in the process. We see the other side of Nate's face. There is a rudimentary penis drawn on it. Wilson glares at Elliot.
What the hell, man?
Elliot has a Sharpie lid in his mouth.
What?
Wilson opens a wet wipe and begins to remove the penis from Nate's face.
This isn't a game. Give me that.
Elliot puts the cap back on the Sharpie and hands it to Wilson. Later, living room. Nate is lying on the couch in underwear and a t-shirt. The boys surround him. Wilson is clutching a pair of dress pants, holding one of the pant legs open. Sean tickles Nate's foot with the feather, causing his leg to jerk. Wilson intercepts Nathan's leg into the pant leg.
Yes.
Later, Nate is asleep, sitting upright on the couch. He is wearing the pants and a dress shirt. There is a tie loosely draped around his neck. The tie is taped to his hands. Sean tickles Nate's shoulder. Nate's hand moves clumsily.
Shit, this is hard, man.
Later, Nate is sitting with his laptop on his lap. We see some dried toothpaste on his lips. He kind of looks like shit. His fingers are typing to the movements of the feather tickling his fingers.
That's perfect. Just send it.
Oh, it's not. It's not perfect at all.
Well, it's as good as it's going to get. Just send it. We're running out of time.
Nate's hand is tickled into clicking send on his laptop. We see a close-up of the screen. The subject line of the email reads resume. Exterior, city sidewalk, morning. A group of people stare in confusion, trying to comprehend what they're witnessing. Cars are standing still at a green light. An old woman has her Buick window rolled down and is angrily staring. The boys puppeteer Nate down the street, each step being guided by Sean and Wilson as they take turns tickling his legs. Fade to black. We hear a muffled female voice speaking. The blackness begins to open to reveal blurry red and bluish hues. The image sharpens to reveal the fluorescent brightness of an office and a woman wearing a red blazer sitting behind a desk holding a sheet of paper. We see a placard on the desk that reads, Freya Warlington, hiring manager. Freya looks down at the sheet of paper in her hands. She blinks a few times in confusion, raising an eyebrow.
Wow, that is some interesting penmanship.
We see the application she is holding. It's illegible. Just so shitty.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Dorminic?
Freya leans in to read the application, squinting.
Or is that a 9?
Nate looks around the room, trying to figure out where he is. Nate still has a small smear of shaving cream on his face, some neglected stubble patches, a small bloody square of toilet paper on his chin. There's toothpaste on his lip and a smeared drawing of a penis on his cheek that never truly came off. His cheek is still slightly red from the irritation of the wet wipe. His necktie is configured in a loose knot that doesn't really resemble a necktie at all. There is some packing tape stuck to the tie. He looks like a child's drawing of a hobo. Nate scans the room with a confused look on his face.
Nathan. My name is Nathan. Why do you ask?
Freya looks skeptically at Nate. Then she starts to grin.
Nathan. You're a funny guy, Nathan. Can I call you Nate?
We see Wilson, Sean, and Elliot crouched beside Nate's chair, attempting to look natural.
And these men, are they your associates?
Nate and the boys look at each other for cues.
Yeah.
Well, you are just full of surprises. This interview process is rarely this entertaining.
Nate shrugs and smiles. Internal Nate's apartment, living room night.
Wow, you guys. I couldn't ask for better friends. You know, I was just too afraid to apply for that job, but you knew I wanted it, and you made me do it.
It was all you, man. You earned it.
I still can't believe I got the job.
The boys pat Nate on the back. They look tired.
Well, I don't start until next week, and I don't have anything I need to do tomorrow. So let's celebrate.
5 minutes later, Nate takes a shot of whiskey. The boys toast Nate with their beers. 3 hours later, Nate is passed out on the floor. The boys surround him. Sean crouches down to inspect Nate.
He's out.
All right.
Wilson places a notebook on the kitchen counter. The cover of the notebook says Nate on it. Wilson opens the notebook to a page with some writing on it. We see a close-up of the notebook. It's a to-do list with several items already crossed out. One of the two to-do items is get a job. Wilson crosses it off with a Sharpie and sets it next to the notebook. Sean places the feather next to the notebook.
Okay, so we don't have much time. The website says 9 a.m., so that doesn't leave a lot of room.
Wilson stops talking, takes a deep breath, and rolls his eyes.
Elliot?
Wilson sternly extends his arm and opens his hand. Elliot's hand enters the frame, holding the Sharpie. He places the Sharpie into Wilson's hand.
What?
Zooming in on the to-do list, we see that the final item on the list is get sober. Wilson looks at Elliot.
Get some coffee started. We have a long night ahead of us.
Fade to black. We hear a muffled female voice speaking. Nate's eyes begin to open.
I see a new face here.
Nate is in a church basement surrounded by people sitting in metal folding chairs. He looks to his left to see Denise addressing him.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Nate's eyes wander until they fix on a sign that reads Alcoholics Anonymous.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
We see the side of Nate's poorly shaven face, toothpaste on his lip again. The penis is now mostly faded away. Zooming out, several bloody squares of toilet paper are revealed on his face and neck. Further zooming out, his shirt is buttoned terribly, his pants are on backwards, and his shoes are untied. Wilson, Sean, and Elliot are sitting next to him. They have bags under their eyes and are clearly struggling to remain awake.
Hi. Hi, my name is Nate, and I'm an alcoholic.
Nate takes a deep breath and exhales with a smile. He shakes his head knowingly as he quietly chuckles to himself. From behind Nate, we see a chunk of his hair is missing, surely the result of a rogue razor spasm. Nate looks at the boys.
Wow, you guys did this for me?
It was all you, man.
Sean nods off for a second, then jolts back into consciousness.
Yeah, you earned it, Nate.
Denise stares at Wilson, Sean, and Elliot, who are practically passing out in the middle of the meeting. Denise looks upset.
Are you boys intoxicated?
The boys look strung out. Nate is passed out again. Denise's face scrunches up with irritation. We hear the sound of a Sharpie cap being removed. We see Elliot is holding Nate's face steady while beginning to draw what we can only assume to be a crude penis on it. Elliot has the Sharpie cap in his mouth.
What?
I wrote like this basic script like several years ago about this idea of like, I was just cracking up at the idea of thinking, you know, like you'd see somebody, you think that's like this, this old trope of like somebody being passed out and using a feather to tickle them or something to, smear shaving cream on their face, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, I've seen happen before at parties. And I was just like, well, what if you actually like just took it one step further? Yeah, right. And then I was just like, well, what if you took it a step further and actually just like gave them a razor and tried to get them to shave their face?
Yeah.
And then I just started to think how funny it was to just completely control someone's body with a feather. So that's what this is all based on, is just how funny it was for me to think about somebody's entire body being puppeteered with a feather.
I think that's very funny. I love what you have here. I think it's super funny. I think that you like explore this idea really well, and you explore the context of what's happening between these people really deeply. I agree that your first unusual, like for me, your first unusual thing was like somebody giving a shit about taking, pranking somebody while they're passed out seriously.
Yes.
Like for me, like yeah. that's like, oh, being like, this isn't funny, don't giggle, is like a really great unusual thing. And like, we're trying to help this person accomplish their to-do list is a killer justification for that first unusual thing. Like, that's so funny to see. And I love all the context that you have here. And like, all I would say is like, don't feel like you have to skip the conflict between the characters that you introduce first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love this, like what they're trying to do, get a job interview, get sober, like any of this stuff. And for me, like, I'd love to see this like take place the night of like just the moment where they're waking up, the like past Nate, like where they're waking up Nate to like get sober. And then like use the context of like, we did this to you to get you that job and we're doing this to help you. And like, we're moving your body with this feather. And that's how you've accomplished all these things as like heightening moves when Nate's like, stop doing this. Cause there's so much good. And I just imagine somebody being like, it's uncomfortable for me. I didn't want to shave my beard. And then being like, yeah, but how about that time where you wanted to get that job last week and we shaved your face for you using the feather and that's how you got the job. Yeah. Thank you. You know, like, so yeah, I would just like love to see like you lean into the conflict between the folks who are doing this, because the justification of like, we're helping you get your shit together is like so fucking solid.
So much of the comedy, like people have been saying, is in like the stage directions and like the physicality of stuff. So I think like including more specifics in the lines of dialogue, like for me, I was reading this and I was like, oh, I like get the vibe. I don't know if you thought out the lore of the relationship between these people or how long they've been friends, but I was like, oh, it feels like they've been friends since like childhood and like they know each other so well, like they know how to, you know, control this guy in the best way possible, like with a feather, you know, you have to know someone pretty well for that. So I just got the vibe that like they have history and like if like Elliot, like maybe his lines, like Amy was saying, like giving voice to his character because it's so funny, like him being like, oh man, this is just like that time you didn't let me get the tater tots at lunch in the sixth grade because of such and such, you know, like I don't know, just more specifics in the dialogue I think would also like heighten the comedy of what they're doing physically.
Yes.
We love you, Nate. We know how to control you with a feather. We know you so well.
Could a stranger do that, Nate?
Yeah.
Well, I really do like the idea of the possibility that like he loves them and cares about them and is appreciates what they're trying to do, but cannot stand it. He has absolutely no autonomy at the end of the day.
You know, when I'm awake and moving around, I feel phantom feathers on my body.
I would have loved to explore all that more, but it was long enough as it was just in the direction. Because I've always just imagined it visually, like more so than all that dialogue. So
yeah, I'm a visual writer myself, so I totally get that. So it'd be interesting to see if you actually like were to film it or do something, you know, to record it somehow and see where some more dialogue might naturally come in and come out of the characters, especially with this, like Peely said, they clearly have this long standing great relationship. So it'd be fun to see where those characters could go, even just like improvising some of the dialogue as it's being filmed or something would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love imagining the history. If you start with the AA meeting, because it's like you've been doing this since high school. Like you controlled me all through prom.
Yeah. Imagine this conflict in the middle of an AA meeting, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got you laid. I don't remember it though. Yeah.
We do, and then they have two guys high five.
Yeah. Yeah. We do.
That was nice, but I could never replicate how good you did it with the feather.
She She was disappointed the next time.
Yeah. That relationship fell apart because I was constantly just a disappointment.
You've taken over so much of my life, I can't even... I'm not good at anything anymore because you always do it for me.
I wanted to go to college and play baseball, and I got there, and I couldn't play baseball without the feather.
I almost failed out until you transferred to my college.
Yeah. We're just trying to help.
I'm dependent on you forever.
Yeah, I do think like having some relationship clarification could be good, because I wasn't quite sure if I'm like, are they hired to do this? Are they like secret agents hired to control this guy with a feather? You know, that's what I was kind of thinking. Yeah.
All you would need is just like a photo of all of them being, you know, like if you're thinking visually, just a photo of all three of them. You're like panning over something. You see like photos of them like hanging out.
With a feather.
A feather.
It's all right.
Arm around it with the feather.
With Nate's eyes closed in almost all of them, you know?
Yeah, it was a real like Weekend at Bernie's adventure, too.
Yeah. Different varying levels of stubble.
Yeah, I wonder, too, if like taking him to AA is their final relief of like, we finally don't have to do this anymore. You're going to sober up and then like, we're setting you free on your own. Like, fly, little birdie. I don't know. Because if he's going to sober up.
Yeah, what if this isn't the first time this has happened? It's like, oh, I've seen it before. You Weekend at Bernie's him to the AA meeting. Yeah, a lot of people get clean this way.
I feel like you could probably achieve that with just a line. Just be like, yeah, we have a familiar face. Somebody's back.
Denise is just like, I told you I don't want to see you here again.
take Nate and your feathers and go.
Yeah.
Right. Don't forget, Nate's supposed to bring donuts next week. So.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to have to feather him over to the donuts.
I want to see like a blackout sketch if this was in a show context where it's like, announcing the president of the United States, Nate so and so, and they tickle him out onto the podium. Yeah.
Intricately, like tickling his mouth to make him
to give a speech.
Like they're looking at the teleprompter and trying to
right, and they do like, just like seeing a feather go over someone's mouth, and then have them go, "My fellow Americans."
Dorminic?
Whoa, what's that sound?
Hello! Whoosh! It's me!
Oh, the Rift Plane pilot.
Whooshed in. That's right.
We whooshed on in.
I'm back! I'm alive, flesh and blood and bone. Ooh.
Wonderful. Oh, and you've got a plane now.
And a plane, that's right.
I got my ticket right here.
I think Ken's going to show you my QR code right on his phone. There you go. Yeah.
Oh, I do the scanny bits with the... I picked up the smartphone because I'm alive now. And it just doesn't... okay, so let me just... Passenger Kenny, can you show me how to do the doodad with the QRs?
Sure, right. Make it.
Yeah, right there. You just place it on. That's great. Ken, you can just read it.
There you go.
Yeah, just read it and then we'll figure out this nonsense, living nonsense later. What do you got?
All right. I've been watching, like on TV, I just find myself watching a lot of like British shows, whether they're cooking or comedy or anything. So I was just thinking how that would affect someone who's just like become an American, like say an American or something, they just become completely influenced by British media. So that's just kind of where I was going, like cooking and making comments and, you know, like a Gordon Ramsay voice or.
I feel like there's a tendency with something like this to do like a list game, right? Where it's like people sitting around and they're like, Greg, you're you have a British accent as the first unusual thing. And then Greg's like, yeah, I only watch British TV now. And then like, as time goes on, it's just like Greg doing British TV specific stuff that we had to look up over and over again. But I would like love it if like, maybe it was more the context of like a date or someone who doesn't have previous knowledge of this person. And they're like, their social cues are just affected by British stuff, you know, like just seeing like British culture and like word choice as the game. I think it would get us away from the idea of like just a listy game.
Right. I had, I just remembered this as we were talking about this. What I had kind of envisioned of is like just someone kind of walking into the room and it's like an intervention. You know, like we need to talk to you because this is getting crazy kind of thing.
Okay, well, like, let me get some tea before we do this.
No, see there, that's it. That's the problem.
It's you just started some drinking tea and crumpets 4 months ago.
You don't even know what a crumpet is.
Ken, when I was in high school, I like exclusively watched British YouTubers and I started thinking in British accents. So I just think there's like a very real for me propensity for like evolving into this character more and more. But I love staging it in, as like an intervention, jumping right into the action.
So when you write it, you can make Keely your main character, write it for her voice, mm-hmm. and it'll be just pleasant.
I could see a voiceover where like Keely's thinking in British and like looking away, and then she tries to make it sound American when she's talking back to the people.
That internal dialogue.
Yeah.
I love the idea of people getting to say like how it's affected them too. Like Keely, when you came to my house and said that you just popped off the tube, you scared my family.
I'd love to hear some like good things though. You know, they're like doing an intervention, but there's some good things. Like, you know, you're calling me a queen, honey. And I love that. I love that you call me your queen.
And brilliant. You used the word brilliant. Six times and just I got such great, you know, improved my self-esteem.
But the food you eat is fucking gross now.
It's all mushed. Most of it's mushed up.
You don't even know what a crumpet is.
Do we have to put on our seatbelts?
Ding dong. Yeah, that'd be great if you wanted to.
Ding dong is such a solid attempt at what that sounds like.
Tossed off.
Ding dong. Ding dong.
Oh, Fuzz, you're good to go. You can stay where you're seated, and I'll be with you in a few moments. Who else has a roof aboard the plane?
I would love to board this flight.
I hear you got a route for me. Let's see the QR code here.
Oh, yep. Here you go. Here you go. So what the QR code says once you scan it is that, so you know how like when, you know, if you're like in a relationship and maybe you're like going to that person's house and you're staying over, they like have some things for like kept there for you to like, you know, they maybe like a toothbrush or like something like that.
Sanitary. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Or even a book, or yeah.
Someone very close to me in my life recently got into a relationship and told me that her boyfriend keeps all the accoutrements to make grilled cheese for her. He doesn't eat dairy, that's but he wonderful. Was like, yeah, I like got all this stuff because I like figured you'd probably want a grilled cheese like while you were here. And I just thought that was really funny that instead of like, I don't know, a toothbrush or like contact solution or something, that he like keeps Kraft singles in his fridge. So yeah, if anybody has ideas of like other just like strange things that you could
see. I don't have an idea, but I do have a question. So like, is there a history of grilled cheese in this relationship prior to?
Not in the relationship, but in this person's life. In this person's life, yeah, grilled cheese is like a very strong part of her personality.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
Okay.
The like premise that's coming to mind for me on this when you said that that he doesn't eat dairy is like walking in on this guy eating a grilled cheese and having him be like, you did this.
Maybe they could get like the things that they keep could get like too specific, where like the person would appreciate them, but it's a little uncomfortable how like specific they are to that person. Like they've been reading their emails or something.
It could turn into like that extreme home makeover bedroom situation where it's like one dumb fact about somebody turns into like the whole house.
Yeah. I think that's a good riff.
Riff Captain, can you get us to assignment port?
Ding dong. This is Riff Captain Conductor here.
It's not Keith doing the sound effect. It's Riff Captain saying it in the Riff Captain's voice.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
All right, thanks, Riff Captain.
You got it.
All right, folks, the assignment this week is ignore. Think of a, you know, situation where someone could be ignoring somebody or someone is getting ignored. I think the key to something like something that makes people feel bad, like ignoring, is finding a justification that is trying to help the person. So, you know, think of a situation where someone's being ignored and justify it with a way that that's helpful. All right, let's head on over to Plug Port.
That's gross too. It's also gross.
Deanna, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I mean, you can always check out the Misconnections Remote podcast, second season starting soon. It's just
oh shit.
Yeah, like a full 45 to 50 minute podcast, long form improv based on Misconnections remote ads or Misconnections ads on Craigslist. And then I add a bunch of sound effects to it. So it's like a whole soundscape thing. So check that out if you get a chance.
Dope, little podcast to podcast. Love it.
Yeah.
Cross promotion.
Sketchy, that's also Harrisburg based improv. So if you love how we're local, check that out. Kaylee, anything you want to plug?
Yenna, Casey, Kush, and I are on an improv team called Snicker Casket, and we perform on the last Saturday of the month at the Harrisburg Improv Theater. So check out that if you're in town.
Well, everybody, that's all for us today. Thank you to all the participants and to the Jeff Powers for the music you've heard. And also a big thanks to you, the listeners. If you'd like to support the show or check out more that we have to offer, head on over to sketchysketchsketch.com.
And while you're there, check out our Patreon, where you can get stuff that lets you know who we really are, like the videos of our Zoom calls.
You're going to want that.
And if you're like, hey, I'm funny, I want to come on this podcast. Submit a sketch. Email us at sketchysketchpod@gmail.com or check out our website where you can fill out a form and upload your sketches to our Google Drive.
And feel free to reach out to us also on our website. If one of the sketches you've heard really impacted you or you just want to give some love to the writer, hit us up on that website. There's a place to do all that.
As always, if you like what you heard today, please tell your friends. Check us out on socials. Check out our classes. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars on whatever you're listening on. Please.
If you give us 5 stars, we'll give you 5 stars. You just,
yeah,
however you want stars. Our stars, we are ready to give them to you in any way.
Yeah, we'll blow you up if you blow us up.
Stars. Well, you know what, guys? That's all for us today. Welcome to season 3. And we love you. We always have. We always will.
We love you
so much.
We're going to have so much fun in season 3.
Thank you very much.